Hallelujah. Okay, kids, you can go to class. We have all through 12. Yeah, we have through Solid Rock this morning. So, kids, you can go to class. And we are going to get into the Word this morning. And we are going to be talking about love. You know, we've talked about love, you know, and we're going to talk about it again because love is such a vast subject. So we're going to start, and we're going to go into Mark chapter 12, verses 29 and 31. And this is our foundation scripture that we are going to, you know, read again. And this time, I want to read it in the Passion Translation, okay? It says, Jesus answered them, "The most important of all the commandments is this. The Lord Yahweh, our God, is one. You are to love the Lord Yahweh, your God, with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, with every thought that is within you, and with all your strength. This is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is this. You must love your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. You will never find a greater commandment than these." Now, we're focusing on the agape love, you know, the love of God, not just human love. And some of the traits, you know, just our natural love, you know, just the different kinds of love. You see it, but the agape love, it goes so much higher, it's so much greater than just our natural human love. You know, what's thinking about this, you know, as I said, is, you know, the love of God, this love affects every area of our life. When we're tapping into the love of God, it affects us, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, some of the various ways, some of the various areas that it will affect us. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking of, you know, the love of God, you know, the agape love is like a diamond. And you look at a diamond, you know, you hold a diamond in the light, you know, it has all these different colors that shows up. You look at a diamond and it has all these sides. It has all these facets. And that's kind of the love of God. It is so hard to just simply explain the love of God because intellectually you cannot grasp the vastness of the love of God and the effect that it can have on us when we tap into it. But, as we keep talking about it and talking about it, I believe that, you know, as I have, hopefully that you will too, is you will be able to tap into more of the facets, more of the sides of the love of God. You know, it demonstrates between me and you, it demonstrates differently than, you know, sometimes than it does between God and me. You know, so there's all these different facets that we're talking about. So once again, we're going to talk about some more this morning. And the title that I'm going to go with this morning is Love Is. And so we want to talk about some of the things this morning that love is, okay? The first one, love is God, and God is love, okay? If we see in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You know, this is very interesting. If we look at what John is saying here, he says, "He who does not love does not know God." So if you're not loving this morning, if you're having a hard time loving this morning, if you're not there yet, it's okay. We're all making progress. We never arrive in this. There's always more of the love of God to experience and to demonstrate. But that's an indication. So if you don't love, if you have trouble loving people this morning, if you have trouble with your relationship with God, it's because you don't know God. And if you don't know God, one of the things we need to come back to, as I talked about before, is we have to be in the Word of God. It's one of the main ways we learn and we learn to know who God is in His Word. If you're not in His Word, you don't know who He is. There's no way. You know, you're going to get caught up in religious tradition. You're going to get caught up in you know, some of the stuff that's being taught in the church now is just so far off God. If you know God, you know this is wrong. Some of the things that's being taught, it's wrong because it's not God. You know, some of the things like, you know, we've talked about this before. People believe that God makes them sick. People believe that God brings bad things into their lives to teach them things. If you know God, you know it's wrong. God is love. God isn't going to cause you damage. You know, God loves you, and when you're a sinner, you know, you can just live your life however, and things go great. But then you get born again, and now, okay, God's out to get you. God's going to punish you for this, and God's going to punish you for that. It's not God. But the only way you know it's not God is by experiencing His love and knowing His word. We need to find out who God is. We need to learn more and more about Him. We need to go, you know, develop our relationship more and more. You know, as we've been going through the Proverbs chapter 3, if you have been looking at that, the blessings that are available by loving God, by having a relationship with God. Why in the world would we not want to have a relationship with God? Why would we not want to know Him more and more when we see of all the blessings that He has available to us? Praise God, praise God. And I guess, sorry, your intercession did not work because the preach is still on me. So believe you can receive the preach this morning. Praise God. Then in John 4:16, we see the other side of this. It says, we have known and believed the love that God has for us. So there's one side, you don't love. If you don't know God, you're not going to love. But on the other side now, when we have known and believed the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. So you want your relationship with God, you know, it's all about love. It all comes down to a love relationship with God. It's not about the do's and don'ts. It's not about rules. It's not about laws. It's not about commandments. It's about my relationship with God. And if you focus on that, you know, your life is just going to totally change, all in a good way. Next one, love always works. What do I mean by that? Well, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13:8. And it says, it basically, if love doesn't work, nothing will work. I heard that statement a long time ago, and it's so true. 1 Corinthians 13:8, it says, love never fails. But where there's prophecies, they'll fail. Whether there's tongues, they'll cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, you know, to me, what we're talking about here, you know, if we're talking long term, I don't believe, like some part of the church believes, that, you know, tongues are gone, you know, prophecy's done, you know, it's already in the past. I don't believe that. I believe, you know, when Jesus comes back, love is still going to be the main thing when Jesus comes back. We're going to spend eternity in love. That's where I believe. So we won't need tongues then. We won't need prophecy then when we're spending our eternity with Jesus. But it says here, love never fails. Now, like I said, if love doesn't work, nothing works. Because if you look in the, you know, when Jesus was here on the earth, Jesus did everything according to love. I think we could agree with that, right? That just as God is love, Jesus is love. And so that's everything he did was motivated by love. Well, when you read the Gospels, one of the things you're going to see is Jesus handled sinners differently than he handled the religious, you know, people. He spoke to them differently. You know, I was just thinking, I think we just read this, the woman with caught in adultery. And you know, he says, you know, he didn't condemn her. What did he do? He just said, go and sin no more. But you get the scribes and the Pharisees, and what did he call them? You whitewashed sepulchers and, you know, and that kind of thing. And the reason is because, you know, they were supposed to know better. They knew the Old Testament. They had a lot of it memorized. They knew it. They just flat out refused to believe that he was Jesus, that he was the Messiah. They refused. The signs, they had to know the signs. They saw he was fulfilling the prophecies that had been spoken about him, and they just flat out refused. And you know what? Jesus told them, you know, if you look in the book of Matthew, in 24 chapter, chapters in that area, he talks about the destruction that's coming. And when you recognize the destruction came in 70 AD, if you read about, you know, the destruction of Jerusalem, it was an absolutely horrible time. And if you read about that, you can see that Jesus was so upset. You know, he talked about, at one point he says, I cry over you, I weep over you, like, you know, over Jerusalem. And it's because he knew what was coming, because it was the consequences of them not believing. It was the consequences of them hardening their heart. It was the consequences of them refusing to walk in the love of God, to receive the love of God, to accept the love of God that came through Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Next one, love is faith. Love is faith, but faith isn't love. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. You know, there's other places that Jesus, you know, it talked about, I don't have the scripture, just the thinking. He says, forget how it's exactly worded, you know. Basically, you know, they're going to stand before him and say, you know, well, we did all this stuff. You know, we healed the sick, we cast demons, we did all this stuff. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, the difference is, obviously, you can operate in faith, but it doesn't mean you're operating in love. And we've seen that. If you've been in the church very long, you have seen, if your spiritual eyes are open, you have seen ministers. I've been there. Yes, you've seen ministers that, you know, they may pray for the sick. They may have all these manifestations, but it doesn't mean that it's out of love. Jesus did his ministry out of love. That's why, you know, that's why why this message is, you know, we're after experiencing, we're after demonstrating, walking in the love of God, because if the love comes, then faith comes. We're going to see this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. It says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. So in other words, it doesn't matter how spiritual you are, but faith working through love. You know, that's how we want our faith to work. It's through love. And if we're motivated by love, then our faith is more likely to work. We don't have to work at it. You know, when thinking about, you know, and thinking about how very, you know, I hardly ever pray for anything for myself. There's a lot of things that I don't pray for now that I used to pray for. And it's because life has improved. Because things just go better than it used to. You know, I'm not depressed anymore. You know, to be discouraged is unusual for me. You know, I haven't been, I'm not hopeless. I have hope, you know. I have joy, I have peace. And it's all because I have focused on my relationship with God, on the love. Experience, the more love that I experience, the better my life gets. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The next word, love is holiness. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, it says in Peter 1:16, it says, be ye holy for I am holy. You know, there used to be a teaching, you don't hear it so much anymore, but you have to become holy. You know, and the teaching was, you know, the teaching was to be, you know, you have to do all this stuff. You know, I grew up, you know, I've talked about this before. I grew up, my background is, you know, you couldn't do this and you couldn't do that and you don't do this and you don't do this and, you know, you have to dress a certain way. And, you know, we used to, you know, when we were young, you used to call it the clothesline religion. You know, all the do's and don'ts. And even with us, you know, Shel and I were talking about recently something, you know, we were talking about some things. And even in us here in this Word of Faith church, you know, we had things that were religious, that were rules to follow. And when you're living by the love of God, when you know, your relationship is based on his love, there's no more rules to follow. Because it's not out there, it's in there. I do what I do because of my love for God. I read the Bible because of my love for God. I spend time in prayer because of my love for God. I want to spend as much time as possible experiencing his presence, experiencing his love. That's who I am. That's my heart. That's my source of life. This, you know, it's just wow. Wow, wow, wow. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Totally changes your life. Totally changes your life. And most of you have known me a very long time, and you know how I was, and hopefully you can see the difference, because in me there is a difference. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Love is boldness. 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Boldness, we're talking about free and fearless confidence. You know, and there's scriptures about, you know, praying for boldness. But when you're in love, you know, when you're experiencing love, when you're walking in love, boldness naturally comes, has been my experience. I am bold, and there's a difference between boldness and arrogance, you know. It's not, you know, to me, boldness is losing the fear of man. And it's not, you know, okay, I can tell people off now. No, it's totally, you know, I find myself, you know, talking to people about the things of God that I never used to. And it's losing the fear of man, and it's because this is just so, it's just such, so wonderful and so great inside me that I just want to share, because, you know, you know, when you guys first got born again, see, I was born again as a child. I never had that I hear you guys talk about when you first got born again, and you want to tell everybody. You know, sometimes we have zeal without knowledge, but it's the love. Why? Because you first got born again, you fell in love. At least I presume you did. If there's a change in your life, it's because you fell in love. You know, you discovered that someone loved you. The thing is, if we don't pursue that, we lose it. You know, the line, use it or lose it, I can guarantee it's in as a disciple, you know, the walk with God. That's why, you know, I keep, you know, harassing you about being in the Word. If you're not in the Word, you lose it. You forget it. And then all of a sudden you need help from God, and you say, God, you know, why am I in this mess? Well, what have you been doing? And it's, once again, it's not a religious thing. It's reading the Word. It's I get to know more about God. I get to know more of His love. I get to experience more of who He is and what He means to me. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. The next one, love is obedience. John 14:15 in the Amplified. If you really love me, you will keep or obey my commands. You know, if you look in chapter 14 of John, I think Jesus says it's like three or four times. He says, if you love me, you're going to obey. If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. So we need to look at our lives. Am I keeping His commandments? And the first one is, you know, what we started out with. Am I loving God with everything that's in me? Am I loving people? Am I loving myself? I can only love people, you know, in the same proportion that I love myself. If I don't love myself, it's you know, because I will dump all my stuff on you. You know, all my anger, that's my anger towards me, I'm going to dump it on you. All of my fear that's towards me, in me, I'm going to dump on you. Everything that's negative, I'm going to dump on you. So if I want to love you, then I need to love me. If I want to love me, I need to love God. You know, I need to experience His love, because the only way, my experience is, the only way to love myself is to experience that God loves me. So that's where we need to start, is experiencing that God loves me. And I can tell you, it's just in the past 5 to 10 years that I started to really experience God loving me. Now, some of you may be blessed, and you may have been experiencing the love of God for most of your life. If you are, praise God, hallelujah. But I know for me, it took a long time until I actually got to the place where recognizing this is what I'm missing. And it just totally has changed my life. And the more I experience His love, the more I want to experience His love. And if I go for a day or two that I'm not, that I'm experiencing it, you know, it's like, you know, I'm lost, and I have to go back and do whatever I need to do to get back and experiencing His love, because that's my life source. Praise God. Hallelujah. Love is character. You know, when I was teaching, when we were going through the First John, I would, you know, read some of the what was there and see the character traits, you know, and think, you know, how is, I know love is here, but how does that work? And then I heard, was listening to someone and minister, and he said, love is character. And I said, yeah, that's it. If you're walking in love, you're a person of character. Let's look at some of these. Trust. I can't love someone or believe they love me if I don't trust them. Now, just think about that. Think of your natural relationships. You cannot have a healthy, loving relationship with someone you don't trust. It's impossible. Well, the same thing's true with God. If you don't trust God, you know, you can't love Him. If you don't love Him, you can't trust Him. And if you don't trust Him, it's because you don't know Him. And if you don't know him, we go back to, what have you been doing? You know, how much time have you been spending with him? How much have you been talking to him? Not asking him for stuff. How much time have you been spending with him? How much time have you been in the Word? And as I said, it's not a religious thing. It's a life source. It's, if you want your life to be better, then why don't we go to the source? Praise God. Hallelujah. Love is trust. What does Proverbs 3:5 tell us? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and leave not to your own understanding. That word trust is in the Lord with all your heart. You know, it's a heart thing, which means it's a love thing. It's not a head thing, it's a heart thing, which means it's a love thing. If you want to trust in the Lord, it's only by experiencing His love. It's limited. You can have, and because I'm telling you from experience, you can have all sorts of head knowledge, and you can know all these verses, and you can have been in church all your life, and listened to every sermon imaginable, and you can have sat under Wayne's teaching for 39 years, but until you have a love experience, it's limited on how much you trust Him. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, it's easier for me, I find it's more natural for me to trust God now than not. And that here I am, you know, have been in church forever and coming to that realization just in the past few years. But Cheryl and I were talking about this the other day and how it just happens. It's not I have to work on trusting God. It's not I have to work on faith. I don't have to work on this stuff. You know, the fruit just grows. It just happens. And it comes back to my love relationship. It's all about love. It's all about love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next one, love is character, love is integrity. What are we talking about here? He says he keeps his word. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? If God says it, he's going to do it. That's what we need to come to. Do you actually believe the word of God? If you don't believe the word of God, you don't know God. Because the more you know God, the more you recognize the word of God is true. When he says he's going to meet your needs, you know what? He actually believes he's going to meet your needs. When he says it's his will to heal you, you know what? That's actually his will. When he says he loves you, he actually loves you. He loves you with a love that is not, you cannot explain it. You can only experience it. The love doesn't make sense. It is so vast. How in the world could you love people that are just horrible? And yet you decided to send your son for these horrible, horrible people. And these people reject you over and over and over again. But you never stop loving them. You never stop hoping. You never stop believing that they're going to turn around and come back to you. He did that. Can we explain that? Can we understand it? No, there's just no way. But you can experience it. You know, I've said, you know, how I look at people, you know me. You know, I've said, you know, ministry would be great if it wasn't for the people. You know, I did not like people. It was just temperament, naturally. But God, in His love, has changed me. You know, I love people. You know, I care about people. It's only God. And as you know, when my natural inclination in the past was to see the negative, I'm a leader analyst. Analysts, they automatically look at the negative. Automatically look at the negative. But you know what? It's just not natural for me anymore to see the negative. It's natural for me to see the positive. It's natural for me to see the good. It's natural to me to focus on being thankful. Does that mean I'm perfect and I've got it all together? No, 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 no. I have my days sometimes. I have my weeks. But I tell you, I'll come back to this any day. No one is going to change my mind about this. No one can convince me otherwise, because it's not because I know it in my head. It's because it's my life. It's because I live it. It's because I experience it. Every single day I experience what I'm talking about today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hebrews 6:13-14, he says, but when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. He says, surely I will bless you. So we know. If God says it, we have to come to that. If God says it, it is true, it will happen. The next one, love is honesty. You know that God has a, he had some, an issue with lying. I don't understand all the reasons why. I mean, I understand, but to understand, but there's a lot of scripture about lying. And it's a biggie thing, it's a big with God. But one of the things we know, if I can't believe someone loves me if they lie to me. You know that, you have a relationship, you can't have a, you know, healthy, loving relationship with someone who lies to you. And you're not going to have a relationship, you know, a healthy, loving relationship if you lie to the other person in the relationship. It's impossible. Well, the same thing is true with God. If you don't believe what he tells you, if you believe he's lying to you, well, then I can understand why you don't love him. I can understand why you don't want a relationship with him. But understand, you know, God doesn't lie. John 8:44, we see where lies come from. It says, you're of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we can see one thing why God hates lying is because lying never, never comes from God. Lying is always from Satan. Now, it doesn't mean that Satan makes you lie. It's our choice. We choose to lie. It's our choice. But lying is a big thing with God. Ephesians chapter 4, 15, he says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. If we're honest with ourselves, you know, we talk about little white lies and, you know, talk about lying because we didn't want to hurt someone's feelings and that kind of stuff. But if we're honest with ourselves, lying always comes from selfish motives. It's always about me when I lie. It's never about the other person. You know why? I'm afraid of rejection. I'm afraid of their reaction. You know, I'm afraid of what they're going to do. But it always comes back to me. That's the only reason we lie, because it's about me, me, me. Well, love isn't about me, me, me. Love is about you, you, you. And so that's why he said, speak the truth in love. And there's a big difference between just speaking the truth and speaking the truth in love. You know, we all know that we can say something one way, or, you know, that's the problem with texting, because there's no way to you know, have body language. There's no way to, you know, have any kind of emotion. You know, there's no way to have a facial expression. It's just a statement. And it totally depends on the person on the receiving end, how they're going to receive that statement. And so we can write this statement in love, but if the other person isn't coming from that perspective, they're not going to receive it in love. So he says, speaking the truth in love, okay? Okay, so the final one we want to say here is love is me. Or you could say, you know, love is you. Because, you know, as I've said before, you know, God is love. Jesus is love. I am in Christ. Christ is in me. So that means in him, I am love. And so I want to just share with you, you know, the confession card, you know, the updated confession card, that, you know, we have the love confession card. Some of you have it. And I have been speaking this. And I'll tell you once again, you know, you may think, it doesn't really work, or, you know, what's the point? But I can guarantee you from my experience, you know, the more I speak this, the more I experience walking in love. So I'm going to read it. And I encourage you to be, you know, to take part of it, you know, because what am I doing? I am convincing myself this is who I actually am. God says this is who I am. Jesus says this is who I am. So I need to convince myself. That's renewing the mind, okay? So if we look at, you know, and this is my adapted version of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. I am patient and kind. I am generous and understanding. I am humble and submissive. I am considerate and thoughtful. I put others before myself. I am forgiving. I am long-suffering and at peace. I focus on the good things in my life. I only rejoice when right and truth prevails. I bear up under anything and everything that comes. You know, I've been through some times where that's a good reminder. You know, God, I don't know how I can do this. Well, I can because of love. I'm ready to believe the best in every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And one of the things that has changed for me is you know, taking offense. I cannot remember the last time I took offense with what anybody said or did. You know, I've been tempted. Yeah, I've had the opportunities. But that's one of the things that changed for me, because when you're living in love, you just overlook things. You don't even hear, you know, what other people hear. You don't even, you know, it doesn't even matter. You just accept people where they are. Because it doesn't matter, when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter what you think of me. The only thing that matters is what God thinks of me. And the more I experience His love, the easier it is to deal with all sorts of people. Praise God. Hallelujah. The root of it all is love. And so that's what we need to focus on. We need to focus on the root. As we focus on the root, then the fruit's just going to happen. I want to end this morning with the prayer that I pray for you guys on a regular basis. I pray it for myself, for my family, for you guys. And that's, you know, part of the what's on the prayer card in the Ephesians chapter 3, 16 through 19 part. And this is what I pray: that you would grant us to be strengthened with might through your Spirit in our inner man, that you may dwell in our hearts, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the width and length and depth and height, to know your love through experience, that we may have the richest measure of your presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with you. If you're here this morning and say, yeah, that sounds good, but I don't know how to experience God's love, well, start here. Pray that prayer for yourself. Because God wants us to experience His love. It's obvious. But whatever you know, and what works for me may not work for you. But you need to find out individually how to experience God's love. Because that is your happiness. That is your peace. That is your joy. You know, that everything that you could want is as we live and experience His love. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to get into praise and worship. We're going to continue to focus on Him. You know, the offering containers are up here. And one of the things I want to remind you, it's in the bulletin, but, you know, usually we do Operation Shoebox. You know, like in July or August, we do the offering for that. But I just got notification from Living Water Teaching, and what they're going to do is they're just going to do it in Guatemala because of all the, you know, the COVID stuff. Nobody can travel in and out of the country, and there's all these complications. So we're going to be receiving the offering. You know, you can put it in the next 2 weeks, and then the last week of October we'll receive an offering for Operation Shoebox. And I think everybody knows what Operation Shoebox is. If you have any questions, you can talk to me later. So let's focus on God experiencing His love. Ask Him this morning, God, I want to experience Your love this morning. I want to experience Your presence in a new way. And I believe, you know, the Word says we draw near to Him, He's going to draw near to us. So He's going to come as we, you know, if we turn towards Him, I guarantee He's going to be there. So let's do this, experience more of Him.